Okay. There's a Rashi at the very end of last week's parsha, which has always troubled me. It says, at the very end, if you recall, Yosef asks the Sar HaMashkim that when he gets to his position of power, when he returns to his position of power, that he should, keep him in mind. Remember him. Remember, the small people help you get there. Remember me that I was put here. Actually, Yosef gives much more of an impassioned speech, and he gives a very interesting speech, which we're going to come to a little bit later. But Yosef asks him to remember him. So this week is Miketz. Yeah, I know you're thinking we just did it last year, but that's what happens. So the last week's parsha ends with the following words: "V'lo zachar sar hamashkim et Yosef, v'yishkachehu." And the sar hamashkim, the chief wine steward, I guess Egyptians in those days used to drink wine, right? So just think about that, right? Right, pre-Islam. So, that would be a good job to have today, to become the chief wine steward in Egypt today, that you probably have a lot of free time on your hands, if they didn't kill you. V'lo zachar sar mashkim et Yosef, and the wine steward did not remember Yosef, v'yishkochehu, and he forgot him. So, you don't need me to tell you that it's a bit much. It could have said he didn't remember him. It could have said that he forgot him. But to say he didn't remember him and he forgot him is where there is a little bit of emphasis over there. So Rashi, as I said, at the very end of last week's parsha says, V'lo zachar sar hamashkim bo bayom, on that day. On that day, he didn't remember. V'yishkachehu la'achar zman, and he forgot him later on. You could, on your own time, debate the merits of that interpretation. If that he didn't remember implies today, or he forgot, and what's the difference between not remembering something versus forgetting something? And the truth is that is probably a quite important discussion, and it's a discussion which more often than not doesn't take place over here, but would take place in other places, including Kiddush, or including remembering Amalek, and things like that. So whenever you consider those things, Zachor Yom HaShabbat, like I try to remember the Sabbath day to sanctify it, or Zachor, right? Remember what Amalek did to you. Lo tishkach, and don't forget. So that would be a perfect place to consider this. What does zachor and lo tishkach mean? Remember what Amalek did and don't forget. Where over here we have both the Sar HaMashkim, both not remembering and forgetting. So what's the difference between not remembering something and forgetting something? And that's essentially what Rashi has to here figure out. Yes, already.
Well, no, just as possibility psychologically. Uh-huh. One is short-term memory and one is long-term memory, perhaps.
But you would have thought of that by yourself, or because Rashi just said that? That's what Rashi said.
I'm agreeing with Rashi. I'm agreeing with Rashi.
Okay. Rashi?
I'm giving some psychological proof to text to Rashi.
Good. So Rashi, I've got good news for you. So you're saying to remember means... What's the difference between remembering and forgetting? You're saying what's the difference between remembering and forgetting? You're saying it's psychological, and I'm asking you, is this just linguistic?
Well, I'm saying that on the first day, that could be a shorter term. That first day, he's telling him, remember me, and then he doesn't. And then over time, he forgot the whole thing. It went in the back of his head. He repressed it or suppressed it or whatever psychologically, and it wasn't in his mind anymore.
Right, and I agree with you. That's what Rashi's saying, yeah. But I'm just asking you, what's the difference then? Right, between not remembering.
One who was a psychology professor.
Yeah, but you didn't sell him yet.
I just remember you're the one who can explain it, right?
Yeah, but he's not sold on it yet. He's not
okay.
Convinced.
I don't usually agree with Rashi, but this time I
As I said, Rashi, this is Rashi's lucky day.
It must be one of his
daughters.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So again, just to think about it, and I didn't want to spend this much time on it. When you say that I don't remember something, or I say or when somebody forgets something, not remembering, I'm agreeing with you, by the way, not remembering is something which is, it's in your mind, but I just didn't remember it, right? I made a list of things I have to buy in the supermarket, and I forgot to buy the milk, right? I didn't remember, so I just said I forgot, I just switched it. Is it, but I would say,
the short term.
So as I said, whenever you consider the larger issue, then please consider it over here. Over here, obviously, the problem is that it says both, and that's what needs to be. Okay. So when big parties take place, then we forget little things. Okay? I will keep that in mind. So then Rashi continues. And by the way, till now, everything Rashi says, I'm fine with. Okay, he didn't remember today. He forgot it yesterday. All that. And if he said it the other way around, I'd also be okay with it. Right? He didn't remember it in the future, and he forgot it today. Oh, that would also be fine with me. As I said, I think the reason why Rashi says it this way is because the sequence is, first it says he didn't remember, and then it says he forgot. So therefore, I think that's what Rashi's doing. But it's the next part of Rashi which troubles me much more. And this is the joke. This is the I'll just tell you, it's the joke with the guy who is drowning. I'm not going to bother, but you'll tell me the joke afterwards.
The helicopter,
yeah. Why? It says, "Mipnei v'yishkachehu la'achar zman," and he forgot him after time. "Mipnei shetolabo Yosef bitchuno l'zichro," that Yosef had his bitachon, which means Yosef trusted this guy to remember him. Because Yosef trusted in this guy, huskak liot asur od shtei shanim, because he asked this guy to help him get out, God said, okay, now I'm going to stick you in there for another 2 years, because he asked this guy to help you get out. Shenemar, as it says, Ashrei hagever asher shem Hashem yivtacho, velo pana el rahavim, velo batach el mitrim hakruyim rahav. That he quotes a pasuk in Eov, and he says, blessed is the man who trusts in God and doesn't trust in these others. I'll just leave it at that. But 1 second. Does trust in God therefore mean that we take no personal initiative? So you all know the joke now that I don't have to bother telling it, right? So, and you can all tell this, you know, if you want over Shabbos by your Shabbos table, you can just tell over the joke, but you can ask, hold it. According to Rashi, that's not a joke. According to Rashi, you know, it wasn't God then who sent the helicopter and who sent the paddle, who sent, you know, whoever else, you know, was sent along the way. Which means, what's so bad about seeing this man as being an agent for God and saying, okay, you know, please, I mean, get me out. Again, it's just the alternative. What exactly is the alternative? So what was so bad over here that, as I said, that Rashi here moves in? And, of course, it's not just Rashi. We have a whole host of sources that you don't have that go in that direction, both in terms of the Mefarshim and both in terms of the Midrashim. Okay. I accept that. I think that there, and again, normally with Rashi, for him to say such a thing, there's going to be a textual motivation for it, which is there really is going to be something else. Now, it could be, and this would be this, what I think is a superficial reading of it, it could be that the fact it says that he didn't remember and he forgot, that maybe that was enough. But I think that there's something else which is here, and I sure hope there is, because else I have nothing else to fill the next 45 minutes. So I'm going to try to show you what it is that brought Rashi in this direction, but first of all, just consider a couple of other Mefarshim who go in the same direction. Right, so that's what Nina said, that over here we see the absence of prayer. And if there were prayer here, then we would feel much better. Pray to God, please help me. But still, at face value, was this really such a terrible thing to do? Based on this, then I can say, maybe none of us should work. We should sit at home and kolel and say, God, please. I say sit at home and kolel. Sit someplace, not work, and say, God, please provide. You know, give me what I need, and so on. So why does humans have to take any initiative? We should just rely on God. Because, again, the fact that he takes initiative over here did not at face value seem to be such a terrible thing.
Yeah, they forgot.
Very good. Very good. The Targum Yonatan, again, this is a Targum based on a lot of Midrashim, he writes, Bavor sheniach Yosef chesed shel mala. It's very interesting, the phrase that he uses here, that he abandons God's chesed. I'm going to come back to that soon. He abandons God and chesed. Ubatach besar hamashkim bibasar. Naaseh ba'avur kein lo zachar sa hamashkim et Yosef ishkacheyu ad zman ishegi haketz b'fnei Hashem l'go'olo. Until the ketz came. Now, ketz is an interesting word. Ketz is a word that we normally use in the context of redemption, which means we speak about the ketz at the end of time. So over here, this parsha ends, Vayeshev ends, that he forgot him. How does the beginning of the next parsha start? Vayehi miketz mishnatayim yamim. At the end of 2 years, by the way, Vayehi miketz mishnayim yamim. Is that the exact words there? Vayehi miketz, yes? Mishnatayim yamim. It's at the end of 2 years of days, which means it's a very strange term. I think that may be part of the motivation, which means when do you start counting days? When you're sitting in prison, then you're counting days. At the end, but it's the word ketz over here, which has an indication of redemption, which the Targum over here is pointing out. I see some of you have sources now. Baruch Hashem. In source number three, Rav Chaim Paltiel, again, this is from the time of the Balei HaTosfot, he emphasizes that it's the double language which is problematic over here. And he writes it clearly. Hiksha Abba Mori HaRav Rav Chaim Zatzal Me'achad Dekatav Lo Zachar LaMali Vishkacheyu. Once it says he didn't remember, why does he forget? Lichtov Chad Ulushtok Me'idoch. Let him say one and let him be silent about the other. You don't need them to say both, but it's the fact that it said both which is the emphasis. So that's something which I think that we sensed earlier. In the Meshivat Nefesh, which is in source 4, he writes that he had heard, at the end of the second line, V'shamati b'yir b'neshe zachar Yosef shnei pa'amim zechira l'sar ha-mashkim. Twice he asked the Sar ha-mashkim to help him, so therefore he gets 2 more years in prison. Which again, I think I've already stressed my being somewhat uncomfortable with this, okay? If he would have asked him 3 times, then he'd be 3 years in prison. Which means, again, what is so bad about this, per se? Now, the Midrash, which is found in sources 5, 6, and 7, pick a number, which one you'd rather look at? We'll look at 7, because it's in English, and then some of you can ignore me and just look at the English. It's also in the most authoritative of the sources. It's in Midrash Rabbah. V'lo zachar sarah mashkim, right, he didn't remember. Kol hayom haya matnet na'im. But every single day, he kept making resolutions that he was trying to remember. Ba v'hofchan, u'malach ba v'hofchan. And an angel came and caused him to forget. The sarah mashkim. V'kosher ksharim. Umalach ba umatiran. He tied a bow on his finger. Right? That just says, he tied a bow on his finger to remember. There's something that I have to remember to do today. See that? See that? And you thought you made this up, right? Right? Isn't that interesting? It says, Vikosher Ksharim, and he tied a knot. Umalach ba umatiran. And an angel came and opened it up. So he gets to work. There was something I had to remember to do today, and he gets to work and it's not there, and he couldn't remember, which is very interesting. That the Midrash is saying the opposite of what you're saying. It's saying that our Egyptian wants to remember. He has a sense of gratitude.
But he can't do it.
So I'm saying, look, the Midrash always gives us the subtext. It's very interesting that the Midrash, in this particular case, the subtext is that he really wants to do it. So if he really wants to do it, so why... Hold it. God sends an angel to prevent him from doing it, which means that it's trying to emphasize the sense of punishment. No. Yosef asked you for help and you want to help him? No. Absolutely not. Amar lo kadosh baruch hu, at shochecho, you're going to forget. Vani lo ashkechehu, and I'm not going to forget him. Ahu dechli velo zachar sarah mashkim. He didn't remember. It's very funny, Midrash. Right? It's very funny. Because it's saying that he didn't remember and he forgot, and God is saying, no, you're going to forget. But he didn't want to forget. God made him forget. So, no, you're going to forget, which means I'm the one who wants to save him. So, as I said, this whole topic I find somewhat disturbing. Exactly where do you draw the line on a larger philosophical level? Where do you draw the line between trust in God versus human initiative? We can clearly say that the whole Zionist, certainly the religious Zionist, movement never would have happened. They'd all still be sitting in Europe because, you know, we have to wait for God to do things. And then the question becomes, you know, when man starts to do things and man is successful, so obviously man then should give God the proper homage. But still, nonetheless, over here, Yosef tries to follow what we would call Derech HaTeva. So what was really so fundamentally wrong with this? So my question, you understand, and let's take a look, because I think that the answer is going to be within the narrative, but in order to really understand this, we need to look at a bunch of other narratives. Basically, every time Yosef speaks, we need to look, which is why it's very good that you have some sources now. Percentage-wise, it may well be that Yosef mentions God more than anybody else. Again, there could be somebody who only speaks once in Tanakh and mentions God once, so therefore he wins. But I'm saying in terms of somebody who speaks a lot, the amount that God is on Yosef's lips is completely off the charts. Yosef has what I would call a highly developed God consciousness, and he is always speaking about God. Now, why he has a highly developed God consciousness itself is interesting. We would have every reason in the world to sympathize with Yosef if Yosef would have lost his belief. Again, we don't like to speak about this, to think about this, but, I mean, you think about somebody, he lost his mother at a very young age, all his brothers hate him, his brothers want to kill him, and they sell him, and the whole story over here, he's rejected, he tries to do the right thing, he ends up in prison. I mean, every step of the way, I mean, you look at Yosef's life, Yosef sitting in prison at the point that he asked the Sar Mashkim for help. One second, was this the worst thing that he's ever done? And he's think of all the punishments and all the trials, tribulations that this man has gone through to this point. And now he asks somebody, okay, give me a hand. And he said, God, oh my God, you said give me a hand. You didn't ask me for help, that's it. You're staying another 2 years. What in the world do we want from Yosef? So I'm just saying, if Yosef would have just plain given up at this point, would we have been all that disappointed? It would be a different book, but would just based on what he's gone through, it's been enormous what he's gone through. And we're going to notice something, which is it's very hard. You know, they speak about the chicken and the egg. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Chicken. Yeah, according to the Gemara, the chicken did. There's no question the chicken did. God created chickens, not eggs. Okay. But what came first? Was God with Yosef or was Yosef with God? Which way does it go first? So from the time Yosef gets to Egypt, I mean, if you look at the early biography, from the time Yosef is born, we find that he's very talented. As we discussed last week, he's very smart. There are many things which are very attractive about Yosef's personality. But we never find any mention of God in that entire first episode in the beginning of Parshat Vayeshev. After Yosef is sold and he ends up in Egypt, we're told the following. This is source number 8. Vayehi Hashem et Yosef, God is with Yosef. By the way, the name of God over here is Yudkei Vavkei. God is with Yosef. V'ish matzliach, Yosef is successful. V'hi b'beit Adonav ha-mitzri. Vayar Adonav ki Hashem ito. And his master sees that God is with him. Again, Yudkei Vavkei, God is with him. V'kol ha-shehu oseh, Hashem matzliach ito. Everything he does, he's successful, which means Yosef's success is something which is clear. God is with him, he's successful. By the way, it's very funny. You speak about a man who's so successful but is in prison. I mean, that's, of course, the great irony. If we skip to, Vayimtze Yosef chen be'enav, Yosef found favor in his eyes, and Yosef continues to find chen and chesed, as we'll see, in eyes, which is the same characteristic as Esther. And the whole Esther story is very closely patterned after the Yosef story, linguistically and thematically. Yosef finds favor in people's eyes, in his master's eyes, and he serves him, and he puts him in charge of everything. Pasuk Hey, v'hi me'az hifkid oto b'beito, v'al kol asher yesh lo, v'yevarech Hashem et beit ha-mitzri, God blesses the house of this Egyptian, biglal Yosef, because of Yosef, v'yibirkat Hashem b'kol asher yesh b'beit v'sadeh. And everything that Yosef's involved with is blessed, which means God is with him, God blesses him, people see it, people discern it, that God is with him, so God is with Yosef. At the end of that section is when we find Yosef being hit upon by Mrs. Potiphar, and at that particular juncture, he says, it would be wrong for me to do this in terms of my relationship with your husband. And then at the very end, he uses two words which are astounding. V'chatati l'Elokim. And it would be a sin against God as well. So over here, Yosef is mentioning what I would say is a highly developed sense of morality, coming in and saying that, again, he has God consciousness. Right and wrong for Yosef is defined by his relationship with God, and this would be something which is wrong. So here we see, and by the way, this is the first time, God is with Yosef, but what do we see over here? Yosef is with God. So over here we have what we would call a relationship. Yosef has a relationship with God, God is with him, and he's with him. But again, that's what I said, which is first. So does Yosef sense that God is with him? By the way, even that takes something. How many people who are as talented as Yosef, it goes to their head and they think that it's them. They think it's their own skills, right? Over here, Yosef has the moral and the religious sensitivity to realize that his success is because God is with him, and therefore to say, for me to do this thing would be wrong, would be a sin against God. So I'm saying, over here, in this little chapter over here, we see so much about Yosef's relationship with God, which, by the way, as of this point, we have no sense in terms of any of his siblings having this kind of relationship with God. We don't find any of them speaking to God or being afraid of God or being fearful of God or considering God within anything that they do. So just keep that in mind as well. Let's go now a step further. Yosef then gets thrown into prison, source number 9, and we're told the exact same thing, almost word for word. Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Vayihi Hashem et Yosef, God is with Yosef, Vayet Elav Chesed, and he causes Chesed, Chein V'Chesed, Vayitin Chino B'Nesar Beit HaSoar. And now again, Yosef, people like Yosef. He finds favor in their eyes. Vayitin Sar Beit HaSoar B'Yad Yosef, it's called Asirim, right? It's called, right? Which means the guy in charge of prison sees the same thing. It's not that they see that Yosef is so successful. Again, that's what I want to stress. What does both... They see that God, both the Potiphar and the person in charge of this prison, the warden, they both see the same thing. That God is with Yosef. Yosef is a blessed man. God is with him. He has the Spirit of God within him. Okay.
How do they define God?
Isn't that interesting? And again, I'm going to stress, the name of God used in all of these cases is Yud-Keh Vav-Keh, which is the unique name of God. So I said the name of God used over here, I'm not talking about Yosef's speech. That's part of the issue over here. God is with Yosef. They see it. Yosef speaks of Elohim. And now we'll continue. Let's skip source number 10. Because that's what we want to get to. And let's skip source number 11 and go to the other discussions that we see with Yosef. Source number 12 is when Yosef names his children. He names Manasseh and Ephraim. In both cases, the name Elohim is right there within the name. Vayikra Yosef et shem ha-bechor Manasseh ki nashani Elohim. What does nashani Elohim mean? Yeah, God caused, it's very interesting, God caused me to forget all the bad things that I went through. By the way, when someone says, God, let me forget all the bad things I went through, does that mean you forgot all the bad things you went through? I'm saying that itself is interesting. God allowed me to forget all the bad things that I've experienced. And then when he gets the second son, Ephraim, ki hefrani Elohim be'eretoni, that God allowed me to be fruitful and multiply in this land of my of affliction. So again, it's always bittersweet with Yosef, but even though, again, he remembers his affliction, he remembers his pain, but it's God is there. I mean, God is there within Yosef's consciousness. That's what I want to stress. Next, source 13, when Yosef meets up with his brothers. Over here it gets interesting. When Yosef meets up with his brothers, he throws them in prison for 3 days. The Yosef Otam El Hamishmar Shloshet Yamim VaYomar Leim Yosef BiYom Hashlishi Zota Su VeChayu. This is what you should do and live. Et Elokim Ani Yarei, because I fear God. So again, if you were the brothers, this is the most remarkable thing. Here you meet up this Egyptian guy. He's beating us up. He's emotionally, physically, he throws us in prison, and then he says, "Listen, I'm letting you out because I'm a God fearing man." So, I mean, they're supposed to be the monotheists, and who is this Egyptian saying that he's a God fearing man? What's interesting is the brother's response in Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Vayamru Ish Elachiv, again, they don't know he's listening, Aval Ashemim Anachnu, we are guilty, Alachinu, for our brother, Asher inu tzarat nafsho, we saw the pain of his soul. Bitchanenu eleinu, when he begged us, v'lo shamanu, we didn't listen. Al kein bar eleinu hatzarazo, therefore these things have come upon us. Do you notice what's missing? Right, but you know what's missing from this? Yeah, God's name is God is missing from their discussion. I told you not to do this. Listen, now his blood is being asked for. So it's very interesting. Yosef says to these, Yosef, who's not supposed to be the monotheist in this discussion, he speaks of God, and the brothers are saying, but we're guilty, but there's no mention of God over here. I mean, we would like to believe, maybe it's so obvious to us that they're talking that God is doing this, but of course it's very interesting. That's the one thing which they forget to mention. Later on, you're going to find a reversal. But first in source 42. Sorry, source 14, which is Perek Mem Bet, sorry. When they open up their bags and they get very frightened, Vayomer Elachav, Hushav Kaspi Vagam Hine Ba'am Tachti, Vietse Libo Vyechardu Ish Etachiv Elachiv, Lemor Mazot Asa Elokim Lanu. Here's the first time we find the brothers speaking of God. When they open up the bag, the first time they find all their money is back, what has God done to us? This is the first time they speak of God. When Binyamin comes, again Yosef blesses him, Vayomer Elokim Yechoncha B'ni. God should give favor to you, my son. Again, they've never mentioned God to Yosef yet. Later on in the discussion, the second time, this is when the goblet is put into the bag of Binyamin, and they're hauled back into Yosef. So let's look at source 16 now. V'yavo Yehuda ve'echav beta Yosef. Yehuda and his brothers comes to Yosef's home. V'odenu sham. V'yiplu lefanav artza. They bow down to him. Once again, the prophecy coming true. All 11 brothers bowing down. V'yomu lem Yosef mama se'azeh. Asher sitim. Halo yadatem ki nachesh yinachesh isha asher kimoni. Don't you know that I am a man who has great ability? By the way, what's completely out of character at this place is he's no longer saying, and I fear God. I don't know if you realize this. That sentence was incredibly scary to them. Do you realize that? Because till now, every time, again, Yosef has seemed to be incredibly fickle and incredibly difficult, but he keeps coming back to the same thing. I'm a fair person, and I fear God, and I'll only do what's moral, and I'll only do what's ethical. And now, he says to them, but nichush, do you know what nichush is? Yeah, it's based upon magic, it's based upon incantations, and there's this whole subtext in terms of the goblet itself is referred to as something which could bring about some type of nichush. I mean, you'll notice that word when you go through this week's parasha. And Yosef says to them, Ki nocheshi nochesh ish asher kimoni. I am a man with such capabilities. And what's now, again, this is one of the few conversations that Yosef doesn't mention God, but rather he mentions himself. And as I said, this must be quite scary. But it actually generates something in the brothers. Now look, now you'll see the complete reversal. Vayom Yehuda manomar laduni manadaber manitzdak. Yehuda says, what can we say? What words do we have? How can we justify ourselves? Ha elokim matza et avon avadecha. God found our sin. So now Yosef is no longer talking about God, but Yehuda is. But I think that what got Yehuda to talk about God is because he expected Yosef to, and Yosef didn't. Which means that's why God is on his lips right now. He goes, hold it a second. He keeps talking about God, and he didn't. So now Yosef throws it out. When does Yosef come back and start talking about God? That's in next week's parsha. When Yosef makes up with them and says, I'm Yosef, who you sold. Listen to how Yosef says it, and maybe this is even the strongest of all of them. Source 17, Vayom Yosef Elachav, come, Gusha Na Elai, Vigoshu, come close, Vayom Ani Yosef Achichem, I am Yosef, your brother, Asher Marchartim Oti Mitzrayim, who you've sold in Egypt. Now, again, that's a little scary. Va'ata, now, Al Teatzvu, don't be sad, Va'al Yichar Beinechem, and don't be upset, Ki Marchartim Oti, that you sold me. By the way, he says it twice. As much as the Rashbam and others want to protest, he never sold them. Yosef says it twice within two verses. And when he's trying to make up with them, he says, don't be upset that you sold me. Heina, ki lemichya shlachani elokim lefanechem. Because God was the one who was behind the scenes doing it. By the way, this is so interesting. Here, humans did something, and what does Yosef himself say? Well, this is God who's doing it. By the way, can I now ask you a question about the Sarah Mashkim? Why can't I say the exact same thing? That Yosef is asking the Sarah Mashkim, the wine steward, to do something, but it's God who's actually the one who's behind the scenes, you know, pulling the strings, as it were. And he says again, Kizeshna Taimer Av, because there's only been 2 years of famine, right? Another 5 years, Pasuk Zayin, Veshlachenu Elokim Lefanechem. It was God who sent me down before you in order to clear a path, in order to save people. Pasuk Ched, verse 8, Vatalo Atem Shlachatem Oti. You're not the ones who sent me down, Vatalo Atem Shlachatem Oti Hena. Kielokim, God's the one who sent me. By the way, this is fascinating. Who sold him? He said it twice. You sold me. He said it twice. You sold me. You sold me. But God had a good idea in mind. And once Yosef sees God's hand in mind, he says, you were pawns in this. You had no choice. You're just pawns within God's world. And I can now ask the exact same thing. Based on Yosef's philosophical understanding that man is sometimes pawns in God's larger plan, so what's so bad about facilitating this? Oh, you can say the opposite. That's why it's really bad. Just pray to God and don't ask this guy at all. Okay, so you can go either way on this. And then he says, hurry up and tell our father to come down. Pasuk Tet, Maharu v'alu alavi, go quickly to my father, Amartim, and say to him, Koam abincha Yosef, Samani Elokim la'adon l'kol Mitzrayim. God has placed me as somebody in charge of Egypt. So what we see when we look at Yosef's various monologues, speeches, dialogues, you find that God is, again, very, very often on his lips, and he understands that humans sometimes act where God is really the one who's really acting behind the scenes. And keeping all this in mind, I want to now go back and evaluate two things, the end of last week's parsha and the beginning of this week's parsha, and try to understand what actually happened. And those are sources 10 and 11. Let's start with 10. So we have our two stewards, the wine and the baker, if you will. The two of them have their dreams, and they're both agitated. V'yavo aleim Yosef baboker. Yosef comes to them in the morning. V'yarotam, he sees them. V'nei zo'afim. What does zo'afim mean? It's interesting that it'd be, why anger? It should more be scared. But the zo'afim is that there's very agitated, certainly agitated. V'yishal et sirisei paro asher ito b'mishmar beit atonav l'mar madua p'neichem ra'im ayom. And Yosef starts the question, you know, what's the matter with you? What happened? The young were in love. They say to him, Chalom chalamnu. We had a dream. Upater ein oto. And we have no one who can, we have no explanation of the dream. But yom aleim Yosef. And what does Yosef say to them? Halo le'elokim pitronam. God had it in his hands to interpret the dreams. So the first thing I want to say, Yosef, who we've come to recognize, having this highly developed God consciousness, is the Yosef who's speaking to them right now. God will interpret the dream. Halo lelokim pitronam saprunali. Tell me. By the way, then that becomes now very interesting. God has the interpretations, so why tell Yosef? Well, the answer would be obvious, because everybody sees that God is with Yosef, so maybe that's not so disturbing. Let's continue. V'yisaper sar hamashkim et chalamo li Yosef. The wine steward told over his dream to Yosef, and he tells him all the details. He sees the vine, and he sees the three, and so on. And he sees the cup of Paro in his hands, and squeezes it, and so on. Pasuk Yudbet, Vayomer lo Yosef, Yosef says to him, Ze pitrono, this is the interpretation. What did he forget to say there? Okay. So it's very interesting. Yosef, who had always spoken about God, and over here he said it as well. So it could be that that's what Yosef implied. But when it comes to communication, are we responsible for what's implied or what's understood? So Yosef over here says, Ze pitrono. What could he have said right now? This is what God says. Ze pitrono. Shloshet ha-sirigim, shloshet yamim heim. Three, how would you turn it, sirigim? The three branches are 3 days. Ba'ot shloshet yamim, in 3 days, yisar paro et roshecha, God will lift you up, vashibcha el kanecha, and put you back in your job, and atata kos paro biado, and he's going to put paro's cup in your hand, kimishpat rishon, as originally was, ashar yita mashkeyu, when you were the one who poured paro's drinks. And now he asks, again, this is the part we were looking for, ki im zechartani, if you would remember, itach, kasher yitavlach, if you'd only remember me when things are better for you, and you would do chesed for me. By the way, who were we told till this juncture is the one who's doing chesed for Yosef all along? God is doing chesed. So it's very interesting. It's not just that he asked him to help him. He said, no, you do chesed for me, which actually is asking him to replace God within this, within his request, and I do want to stress that. Vizkartani el paro v'tzeitani min abayit hazeh. Remember me to Paro, and there you see he said it twice. Ki zechartani, and he says vizkartani. He says it twice, which is maybe why he needs to forget it twice afterwards, because he asks him twice. V'tzeitani min abayit hazeh, and get me out of this place. And then Yosef goes in to, I'll call it his soliloquy. Ki gunav gunavti mi eretz ha'ivrim. I was kidnapped from another land. V'gam polo asiti muma. And here also I didn't do anything wrong. Ki samo oti babor. I was thrown inside this prison, inside the cell. This is right. The word bor is certainly interesting. It's certainly interesting. Right. Over here, Yosef does not have the same refined theological understanding of his life that he later articulates to his brothers. To his brothers, he says, right, it wasn't you who did this. He says, you sold me, but it wasn't you who did this. God did all this. But what does he say? This is the only time we hear Yosef speaking as a victim. I'm a victim. Ani miskin. Right? How do you say ani miskin? I'm a victim. Can't say it in any miskin. Look at all the terrible things that were done to me. I don't deserve this. By the way, he's also appealing not just to his. One second, Julie. He's not just appealing to his sense of please help me because I helped you. He's saying please help me because I don't deserve to be here. I've done nothing wrong. By the way, prisons are full of people who've done nothing wrong. But Yosef, again, is giving this impassioned plea. I've done nothing wrong, and I was kidnapped from my home. I was taken to another land. I was thrown in prison. And by the way, every word that Yosef is saying, it happens to be true. But just because that it's true, here is where we see that there's no God consciousness within Yosef. It's not just that he's asking the Sarah Mashkim, please help me. Suddenly God is not within his narrative. God is not within the picture. God is not here. And of course, what do we know? Because we read the introduction. God is with him in everything that he's done. God is the one who's doing chesed for him. And here we have Yosef saying, you know, look what's happened to me. And there's no God part of it. Later on, again, this is counter to every, I apologize being in the library here, this is counter to every art score biography, where a person is born great and
dies
great, lives great, and then never made. Yosef develops. There's a development within Yosef. Yosef at this point, again, Yosef is a very attractive individual in every way, but you nonetheless see, even though before he goes to prison, he speaks, you know, this would be a sin against God. We find a highly developed moral sense, but on the other hand over here, Yosef plays the victim, and Yosef says, I didn't do anything, and Yosef doesn't see a larger picture, and Yosef does not speak about God at all within this narrative. So it's not, you understand my point? It's not just that Yosef over here is turning to this man and saying, please help me. What's the other side of it? God is not here at all, at least in an obvious way. Yeah. Okay, good. So now let's pay attention to all the words used over here as we continue. Vayar. Right. Pasuk Tetzayin, Vayar Saufim Kitov Patar, and the baker saw that Yosef did a good job of interpreting. By the way, what did Yosef himself say? God has interpretations. What did the baker understand? that Yosef has the interpretations. We'll see if he's the only one with this understanding as we move on. And he tells his dream over. Vayan Yosef Yom Hazeh Pitrono. Yosef says, this is the interpretation. Again, what's missing right now?
God.
God is no longer within the narrative at all. And he goes and tells the whole thing, in 3 days you're going to be dead, and so on and so forth. And indeed, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Vayoshev Etzar Mashkim Mashkeo V'Yitain Akos Al Kaf Paro, he was returned to his job, Kaf Bet, Vetzara Ofim Tola, and the Sarafim was hung, Kasher Patam Yosef, as Yosef interpreted to them. By the way, I'll say it again, what's missing over here? What's missing is God. And then we have Velo Zachar Sar Mashkim Et Yosef Ishkacheu, he didn't remember Yosef and he forgot him. So, this narrative was interesting, and again, I'm going to stress for what's not here. Now, let's pay attention to what happens when Paro has his dreams, and Paro has his dreams, and now Paro is frightened, and Paro doesn't know what his dreams mean, and we're in source number 10. Vayidaber sar mashkim et paro, sorry, 11. Vayidaber sar mashkim et paro lemor et chata'ai ani maskir hayom. Right? Which probably was also part of the issue. I mean, we don't have to get so deep. Why would the guy never, you know, remind Paro about who he met in prison? That's not the best conversation to have with Paro. By the way, you know, I just want to thank you for that opportunity out in prison. I really met some interesting people, and really quite intimate. And you can understand why that conversation never
bring it up again.
Yeah, you can understand why that conversation never really came up. And he says, Paro katzaf al abadav, yitein oti b'mishpar, b'beit zara tabachim, oti v'tzar ha'ofim. God's power sent me. By the way, Sar HaTabachim, I just want to stress, more likely than not does not mean the butcher, right? I know all this sounds like the game of Clue to all of you, and the baker in the kitchen with the Sar HaTabachim most likely is the chief executioner.
Yeah.
Of course. You even look at the Targum on the Pasuk over here. Sar HaTabachim is the chief executioner.
Potiphar
was the chief executioner. Sar HaTabachim, the chief butcher, would not have a prison. The chief executioner would have a prison. Okay, it's just to understand the context a little bit better. He calls him Lirav Kotlaya. Lekatel in Aramaic is to kill. Rav Kotlaya means the chief executioner. Okay, so the Targum Onkelos is quite consistent to this. Potiphar is the chief executioner. Makes the whole story a little bit more ominous. There may be more motivation not to be hitting on his wife. Okay? Because you have the wine and you have the baker, so you have the butcher also. Does it make sense now?
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's not me. It's Uncle's. Okay. Let's continue then. So he says, when I was in the prison of the chief executioner, so again, a little more ominous. V'nechalmu chalom b'layla achad anivuhu, right? I was there together with the Sarafim, and both of us had a dream. V'ish kipetron chalom o'chalamno, and each one had their own dream with their own destiny, as it were. Visham itanu nar ivri, and there with us was a Hebrew lad, Evid Lasar Hatabachim, a person who was a servant of the chief executioner. Vinesaper lo, and we told him, Vayiftar lanu et chalamotenu, and he interpreted our dreams, ishke chalamo patar, and he interpreted our dreams. What did he leave out of the whole thing? Which means, how does Yosef start? And he says, oh, God interprets dreams. And what does the Sar HaMashkim, the wine steward, take out of the whole thing? It was Yosef. Yosef was the one who interpreted the dreams, which means even though Yosef had that introduction in the beginning, Yosef seemed to, within his entire discussion with both the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim, with both the wine and the wine steward and the baker, Yosef seems to have not communicated that God is with him in this discussion, even though it was certainly the introduction. And what does he take away from the whole thing? That it was Yosef who gave the interpretations. As he interpreted, that's what happened. Oti heshiv, Yosef returned me to this. Oti heshiv al kani. Is that Paro or Yosef?
I think it's Paro returned me to my position.
Oti heshiv al kani v'oto tala. It sounds like it's Yosef who's doing it. Okay, if I'm wrong, am I?
But that he predicted it.
Is it pre-predicted or is that he's actually giving him credit? Yeah, it sounds the way that he says it. It sounds like that he's even saying that Yosef is the one who had that ability. Again, God is not here. Yosef may be inflated. Vayishlach Paro v'yikra Yosef. Paro calls for Yosef, and they washed him, and they shaved him, and they clothed him. Vayoma Paro Yosef. This does remind me of yeshiva guys when they start to go on shiduchim. Right? They pull them out, they wash him, they shave him, they clothe him, and then they're. They're ready to go. They're good to go. Right? Vayomer, Vayavo Paro comes to Paro. Pasuk Tedvav. Vayomer Paro Yosef. Paro says to Yosef, Chalom chalamti, I had a dream. Uperte ein oti, ein oto, and I have no one to interpret the dream. Vani shamati alecha, and I heard about you, Lemor, tishma chalom leftoroto, that you know how to interpret it. So again, the whole narrative has now become no longer about God, and it's become about Yosef, which means when I have to go back and say, so what was it that Rashi felt was wrong about Yosef that he deserved to stay in prison another 2 years, I don't believe it's simply because he said, oh, please remember me. It's because the entire impression which was given over is that it's not God who's doing all this. The impression given over is that it's Yosef doing all this, which means here's the only time. And again, I do have to stress, God was there in the very beginning of the discussion. Yosef did mention God. He did have his Baruch Hashem in the beginning, but that's not what was communicated. And again, you can give me a counter argument and you can say, well, you know what? It would have been very uncomfortable for this Sar HaMashkim. It's bad enough he's mentioning Yosef. It would have been very bad for him in politic for him to mention another god, especially in front of a Paro who sees himself as a god or some kind of a deity. But nonetheless, again, you can give other interpretations for this, but I am going to stress that something interesting has happened over here. Since Yosef mentioned God at the very beginning, goes through the rest of the thing, God is not there at all. And just in case you think that I'm overstating this, now compare it to when Yosef does speak in front of Paro, because he speaks very differently now than he spoke before. And he would have had all the reason in the world not to speak this way for all the reasons I just now mentioned, because of Paro and because of the situation and how Paro may see himself. But instead, what does it say? Vayomer Yosef el Paro, pasuk kaf. He tells him the whole dream, and that's what skipped. Tadzayin even, sorry, Tadzayin. Vayan Yosef el Paro, Yosef says to Paro, Lemor, Bil Adi Elokim Yanet Shlom Paro. It's only God who can give interpretations. Which means Yosef over here goes out of his way to say, it is not me, it is God. Which means if I now have to ask myself, so what's happened over those 2 years in prison? Let's continue and see the way that interprets it. Going on, he tells him the whole thing. Pasuk Kaf Hei, Vayomer Yosef al Paro, Chalom Paro Echadu, Et Asher HaElokim Oseh Higid LaParo. God is telling Paro what is going on. He goes on again, we're skipping a little bit, end of Pasuk, in Pasuk Kaf Chet, Hu Adivar Shedibarti O Paro, Asher Elokim Oseh Hered Paro. What God is going to do, he is shown to Paro. Again, in Pasuk Lamed Bet, Ba'al Shonota Chalom El Paro, Pamayim Ki Nechon Adivar Me'im Elokim, Umeher Elokim La'asato. This comes, I missed bolding one. This is what God is doing, he showed you, and God is going to do it quickly. And how do we see that Yosef was effective over here? Because when Sar HaMashkim, when the wine steward repeats what Yosef said, God is not there because Yosef wasn't stressing it. Over here, it's there. And this is more remarkable in the Pasuk Lamed Chet. Vayoma Paro El Avadav, Paro says to his servants, Hanimtza Kaze Isha Sheruach Elokim? Is there a man that has the Spirit of God within him? Now, Paro is speaking about God. That's remarkable. Vayoma Paro El Yosef, and Paro says to Yosef, Achor Yodia Elokim Otcha, since God told it to you, it calls out, Ein Navon V'chacham Kamocha. There's nobody who is as wise and full of, you know, God-type wisdom, really, is what he's saying, as you are. Which means, when Chazal are attacking Yosef for trusting in the Sar HaMashkim, I don't believe it's isolated, just saying, please help me. It's that within the entire discussion, or if you want, his Yosef's soliloquy at that point, when, again, he plays the victim over here, there's no God within it. He talks about Paro, he talks about, and he says, okay, this is what's going to happen, and he leaves God out of it. If you compare his interpretation of the dreams to the wine steward versus to Paro, you'll see that his conversation with Paro is peppered with the name of God at various junctures where it's not there in the conversations both with the wine steward and with the baker, which means if now I go back and I ask myself, so what happened in those 2 years? Or what could have happened in those 2 years? What could have happened is what normally happens, is somebody sits in prison and he's already complaining, he's already a victim, and God has already done these terrible things for him. And over those 2 years, he's saying, God has abandoned me and whatever, and that's it. And Yosef does the opposite. Yosef grows spiritually. The Yosef who walks out of prison 2 years later is no longer a victim. And that's what's great. He is no longer a victim. He now has become, as it were, a kli. He's a utensil. He's a malach. What's a malach? A malach is a shliach, is a messenger of God. He's now a messenger of God. He's become something different. He sees himself as a messenger of God, and if he's a messenger of God, that means that God is behind everything, and if God is behind everything, that's how he got here in the first place. This is all part of a large plan. Yosef at this point gets frum, he gets religious, he finds God. Not that God wasn't there before. God was there before. But now he sees himself as being an emissary of God, and at this point, he now speaks that way, and that's the way he speaks to Paro, and he will not let Paro have the impression even that it's him and not God. He let the Sar HaMashkim, and certainly the Sar HaOfot, he let them have the impression that he's the one who's giving the interpretations, until we even had that verse that it's even possible that the wine steward said, and everything happened as Yosef said. I mean, Yosef's the one who returned me to this. Yosef's the one who did all this. And at this point, Yosef does not allow for a miscommunication. At this point, God is everything. And that's why when he speaks to the brothers, he speaks about God. And that's why later on when he makes up the brothers, you sold me, but it was God who was behind it. Because at this point, Yosef sees himself completely differently. And he sees the relationship with God completely differently. And I think it's this shift in the narrative which Chazal were really focusing on when they said, okay, this is why Yosef deserved 2 more years. Why? Because he didn't deserve to leave. But the Yosef who leaves does deserve to leave. Because the one who leaves, it's God who takes him out. Now go back and think about those words. It's God who takes him out. Who would be the first one who would say it? Yosef would be the first one who would say this. Which is, who would be the first one who would agree with this interpretation of Chazal? Yosef would agree with this interpretation. And how I see it, that's the words over here. That's what it's saying. It's not the Sar HaMashkim. It's God who took him out because God is the one who's really engineering and doing everything. And that's this new Yosef who's just so impressive, who walks out of the prison. And that's the Yosef who we stay with all the way until the very end. You know, all the hands now. Yes. Yes.
You could also say he wasn't ready, and what you mentioned, the Esther story, when she at first says, I don't want to do it, and then she has to be convinced
and I'll say
to change herself again. So that could be based on that.
Right.
But there's a sense there, not just, we don't have to use the word deserve. We could look at it the other way. That he still wasn't mature enough. He needed 2 more years. I hate to think of it. 2 more years in prison, but to reflect on things, and then he was mature enough. Mellowed, he changed, and he developed
right.
in those 2 years, and we don't hear about them.
So right, right. So I'm just pointing out that you see it very clearly in the narratives. Yeah. Right, right, right. Correct, correct. Absolutely, this now ties in with all of his other dreams that he had, and now he sees the hand of God in everything. Yes, correct. God.
He had it, lost it, and then he got it.
No, I'm not saying that he lost. I'm not saying that he lost it. I'm saying God is with him, but he does not communicate this in a.
But he communicated it once. Potiphar.
With Potiphar's wife, you mean?
When Yosef talks to the Potiphar's wife, he says,
right.
I can't do this against God.
Right, and he says it once also to the Sar HaMashkim. Yeah. And the Sar, he says, God interprets dreams. He says it there once. It's in the back of his mind, but it doesn't come forth within the rest of the conversation, and more importantly, it doesn't come forth when he stands in front of Paro. So that means when the wine steward stands in front of Paro.
But it did stand that the warden and Potiphar, it says, correct. They did see that God.
Correct, and I'll say it again. The impression that Yosef ends up leaving with the wine steward is that it was Yosef and that it wasn't God. Meaning he heard a quick Baruch Hashem in the beginning, but he didn't convince him of that at all. Which is very, exactly. Yosef's not remembering God is then communicated, just like That's exactly the issue. Yeah. Right. And again, I'll leave the psychologists and all those who've gone for therapy to interpret why or what. I'm just pointing out that the language, has changed between the Yosef who's in prison and the Yosef who stands in front of Paro. You're open to give all the interpretations that you want, but just notice that there's a difference in terms of the God consciousness there. But he does say it in the beginning with them. Right. It could be, but he does start out there by saying God interprets dreams, which is he didn't have to say God in the beginning, according to that. But as I said, it seems to me that is what Chazal are saying. That's why he needed another 2 years till God takes him out. When I say that God takes him out, now God is with him. Yeah. Okay. So I hope I gave you food for thought, and I hope you didn't get indigestion. Okay. which you may get from the sufganiyot and the latkes and the. And as I say every single year, the miracle of Hanukkah is that we had enough oil to last for. The miracle is that each sufganiyah has enough oil for 8 days, and it's the inverse of the miracle of Hanukkah. That's why we eat the sufganiyah.